New details on some economic proposals. Will they spur job growth?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama will be in North Carolina today, touring a lighting facility that's been creating some jobs lately. Just a day after his former top economic aide, Larry Summers, advocated giving American workers a bit of a break from their payroll taxes. Well, the White House says the economy is job one, and so do members of Congress, as fear gathers of another recession. From Washington, Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports as lawmakers debate the deficit, they're also looking at some new ideas to spur economic growth.
It's an idea getting lukewarm support from the GOP, including Michael Boskin, a former economic advisor to President George Bush Sr.
A payroll tax holiday is probably the best of any remaining stimulus. I would not oppose it. I don't think it's a high priority.
He says employers will hire only when they think the government has the deficit under control. William Dunkelberg is the chief economist at the National Federation of Independent Business. He says companies don't want any more pump priming.
If the government announces another big stimulus package, people will flee in terror. We don't want the government managing an ever-growing part of the economy. I don't think we have faith that they can do it well.
But with the recovery faltering, both Boskin and Dunkelberg say spending reductions could be delayed for a year or two if there's an enforceable blueprint for real cuts down the road. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
We're about 3 years removed from the start of the financial crisis, a period that pulled the nation, and much of the world for that matter, into recession. Congress passed Wall Street regulations, so nothing like that could happen again. One of the new rules requires big banks to come up with a living will in case financial trouble strikes. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is here to talk about those wills and whether the constraints have much teeth. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
Now, I thought wills were for people. I mean, why are financial institutions having to draw up living wills?
Well, because just like a living will is for a person saying, here's what to do if I get sick, the giant financial institutions are supposed to give regulators a plan to take care of the institutions if the institutions get sick.
Now, what if the banks don't comply with that? I mean, or they're not able to put a working, livable will together?
After three tries, in theory, the regulators, the FDIC and the Federal Reserve, could seize the banks, sell off their pieces, liquidate them. In reality, I can't imagine this will ever happen, but in theory, that's what would happen.
I'm curious, what should the federal government have done instead, Alan, to ward off the dangers of a financial collapse?
The whole purpose of living wills is to take care of institutions that are too big to fail. And we saw what happened when you have those. What the government should have done was break up the institutions, which no one in Washington had the nerve to do, or to separate the parts of the institutions involving federal deposit insurance from the more go-go risky parts, so the go-go risky parts could fail and leave the rest intact. But nobody wanted to do that, so they came up with the magical solutions of living wills, which seemed to solve the problem at no political expense.
Now, if there is such a worry, Alan, that these big banks are too big to fail, why does the government let them get so big?
Well, clearly, Steve, you don't understand the market system. Do you remember? There was a market system. The banks would all take care of themselves because it would be in the interest of their shareholders to be prudent. So they were going to be prudent until one day they weren't, and now you and I get to pay for it. Isn't life wonderful?
It is wonderful, especially for a Monday morning. Alan Sloan joining us from New York. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed at the moment. European shares are higher in Paris and Frankfurt, but lower in London. Oil is down below $99 a barrel today after Saudi Arabia announced it's going to boost production. There's word today out of China. Big banks handed out fewer loans in May, perhaps a sign Beijing's efforts to cool an overheated economy could be making a little headway. Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost another 172 points to end the day at 11,951, under 12,000. Markets are in a six-week slump, the longest losing streak since late 2002.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
There's new data out by the Chronicle of Higher Education on how many members of state legislatures went to college. 75% have earned at least a bachelor's degree. But do those diplomas make them better lawmakers? We sent Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer out to find out.
Democrat Emily Kane has served in Maine's legislature for 7 years. She has bachelor's and master's degrees in education and is now working on a PhD. She says her higher learning helps her think critically, especially when she's presented with research or statistics.
Who collected the data? Was it an organization with an agenda?
But you don't have to be a pointy head to be a good state legislator. Sometimes it helps not to have a degree. Scott Smallwood is managing editor of the Chronicle of Higher Education.
But there's a strong history in America of not wanting to be governed by a sort of specialized elite.
Smallwood says only a little more than a quarter of all Americans have college degrees. Lawmakers without degrees say they understand their constituents' problems better than Ivy Leaguers. In fact, the Chronicle found some lawmakers who touted their lack of formal education, saying they went to the School of Life or gun school. But from where I sit in Washington, D.C., about one of every 30 congressmen went to Yale. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, a new study confirms men care more about cars. We care about our cars more than we do about our bodies. In a survey by the Men's Health Network and Abbott Laboratories, nearly 70% of men said they find it easier to maintain their cars than they do their own personal health. 40% said they're more likely to take that car in for a checkup than take themselves to the doctor. Gosh, if we were only born with an instrument panel and gauges, it'd be so easy. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
A complex drug trafficking operation from Mexico to Phoenix involved trekking through the desert for days and hiding in abandoned homes. Took a lot of people and time to pull off, not to mention cash.
There's actually a lot of money being spent, but if there wasn't that much money to be made, you know, where would they be?
I'm Tess Vigeland, tracing a drug route next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.